Okay, all announcements aside, let's get into our message this morning. Again, at the top of our service, I said that I really sense that the Lord wants to have this experience with his sons and daughters this morning. Amen? And we've experienced him up to this point, but this isn't the end of it, okay? I believe that we're going to continue to experience God, to experience his presence through the preaching of the word, and as we go out the doors today, we're going to continue to experience him. You know, in a way, I feel like Elijah. I feel like I see this cloud the size of a hand that nobody else would think twice about. But the prophet knew the storm's coming. Amen? And I feel like I see the cloud in the air, and it's not a storm that you would run from. He told Ahab, take cover. No. This is a storm that you go out in the middle of it, because it's the storm, it's the outpouring of his presence, his spirit, his power, his love. You go out in this storm, you don't run from it, and you take in everything that he's pouring out. And my sense is, this isn't just scattered showers this afternoon. My sense is, we're coming into monsoon season. Amen? Who wants to come into monsoon season where the Spirit of God is poured out on a consistent and regular basis, and we live in his presence? Yes! And miracles, signs, and wonders become a commonplace thing that we see. Amen? You know, Randy Clark talks about revival that happened down in South America. I think, I want to say Argentina. And they saw very unusual signs and wonders. People would be prayed for, and suddenly they had gold fillings. Gold fillings that the dentist didn't put there. They were supernaturally put there. And it got to be so common, because they would have people give testimonies. It got to be so common, you couldn't give a testimony unless you had like, seven or eight more gold fillings. Because one or two is just like a common thing. Monsoon season is coming. Monsoon season is coming. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Monsoon season is coming. It's available to whosoever will. His presence is available to whosoever will. I shared recently, I did a message on revival. And we talked about a church, I want to say down in Brazil, that just exploded during revival. They went from a church of this size to a church of this size. Not that it's about numbers, but people were hungry for the presence of God. And this church was just positively, amazingly impacted by revival. And the church across the street was as dead in the midst of revival as it was before revival broke out. What's the point? The point is, it's our choice. It's my choice to either partake of what the Lord is pouring out or not. It's my choice. Amen? Sometimes it's not even my choice, though. How many remember Renewal back in the 90s? Toronto Blessing, yeah, Brownsville. God was moving in a powerful way. I can remember being in meetings and sensing that people were hesitant or even resistant for any number of reasons of what God was doing in the meeting, because there were strange and unusual things happening, right? There was, people were just laughing in the middle of the meeting. You know, the term holy laughter was coined, although it wasn't new in the 90s. Holy laughter has happened throughout the history of the church whenever God shows up and revival breaks out. But some people were understandably a little, that's weird, I don't know about that, you know? Some people would just weep in the presence of God, just weep. Some people were rolling around on the floor and just, you know, that... If you need a reason to be offended, there was a reason back then, right? But God was moving. God was setting people free in the midst of that time that they were on the floor. God was doing something. And sometimes those people that were resistant to the move of God, This is the illustration that I came up with. If a person, and forgive me, I'm not offending anyone, I'm not advocating smoking illegal drugs or anything like that, but here's the example, here's the illustration. If you are around somebody that's smoking pot, that secondhand smoke will affect you and you'll get a contact high just being around them. Are you smoking the joint? No, you're not. You're not partaking. They're partaking, but just being in their presence, you're affected by it. And back in the 90s, I saw that happen in church. Not that somebody was smoking a joint in church, okay? That's not what I'm saying. Don't go out of here and say, oh, Pastor Kurt told us about the time he saw somebody smoking pot in the church. No. But I saw people that were partaking of what God was pouring out. And there was overflow. There was more than they could handle. It was spilling out over. And those around them were being affected by the presence of God. Come on. Do you want to be that one that has overflow in your life? Do you want to be that one that people get around you and they get a contact high from the presence of God? Come on, Lord, pour it out. Pour it out. Monsoon season is coming. We're stepping into it. Amen. We're so thankful. We're so grateful. We're so blessed for what God has done up to this point. But there's more. He's saying he wants to do more. He wants to pour out more. Do you want the more that he has for you? Bring it on. I want the more, Lord. I want the more. I want the more. Amen? Yes, yes, yes. We were at Encounter Night the other night, and the Lord spoke this word to me, and I hadn't heard this word or used this word in a long time, and I actually had to look it up online. The word is vestige. And it means a trace of something that is disappearing or no longer exists. That's what a vestige is. And as I just kind of ruminated and meditated on that word, the Lord began to bring further clarity, further explanation to that word. He was relating that word to the priority that we place on the presence of God in our lives, or lack thereof. Because a vestige is just a trace of something that's disappearing or no longer exists. Where are we as far as, where's the priority of the presence of God in our lives? There's an account of Israel when they were going through the wilderness, and the presence of God left the tabernacle. And it's as if God was looking back to see if anyone would notice. And then the presence of God went further. And again, it was like he was looking to see if anyone cared. And then his presence went out of the camp. And seemingly no one said anything. Why? Because it wasn't a priority. The vestige of his presence was leaving. Will CLCC be known as a place where, oh yeah, God used to move there? Yeah, back in renewal, back in the 90s, 20-some years ago, yeah, God used to move there. But now there's a vestige of his presence. That will be the case as we press in, as we cry out for more of him, as we make the presence of God a priority in our lives. There won't be a vestige of his presence here. There will be a full-on presence here where other people get a contact high when they just get around us. Amen? And not just here, but out there as well, in the workplace, with our neighbors, at family gatherings. The presence of God, amen, is going to affect people, not just in the four walls of this building, but every place we go. As we make his presence a priority in our lives. Amen? So we were praying against that spirit of vestige of the presence of God the other night at Encounter Night, which I encourage you all to come out for. It's every other Thursday evening, 7 to 8:15 p.m. Pastor Van does a terrific job leading that. It's a time of worshiping in his presence. There's time for prayer. There's time for sharing what the Lord is laying on your heart. It's dynamite. And I encourage you all to come out. So at that encounter night we just had a couple nights ago, we were praying against this spirit of vestige of the presence of God. And we were praying for fire, that God would send fire, that the fire of God would come. It would be a fire of passion and desire for more of the presence of God. It would be a fire of hunger and thirst for more of the presence of God. We need the fire of God. Amen? Amen. Send your fire, Lord. Send your fire. You know, there's an account in Exodus where, you know, the Lord would go into the presence of God. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. Amen. What picture does that cause you to have in your mind? The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. What a sweet place to be in the presence of God, where he speaks to me and I listen to what he has to say. And then I speak to him and he listens to what I have to say, because he cares what's on my heart and I care what's on his heart. The Lord spoke to Moses as a friend, as a man speaks to a friend face to face. So then Moses, when he would get instructions for the nation of Israel, would go back to the camp. This was outside of the camp. But it says that Joshua remained in the tabernacle. Why did Joshua remain in the tabernacle? Because the presence of God was a very high priority with Joshua. Moses, you go back and do what you have to do. Remember, this is Joshua who said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He would say that later in his life. Moses, you go back to the camp and you do what God's told you to do, but I'm going to stay right here in the tabernacle in the presence of God. Because the presence of God was a priority to Joshua. Amen? Yes, thank you brother. And listen, you know what I'm talking about here, you know, this isn't anything new. Like, this is who we are here at CLCC, right? We're a place where the presence of God is a very high priority, where relationship with others is a very high priority. I can't give out if I haven't received anything from God first to give out. Amen. We're a place where we put a high priority on the move of the Holy Spirit. We put a high priority on seeing signs and wonders and healing. This is who we are. And then if you take it up even another level, we're under the umbrella, as it were, of Elam Fellowship. This is who we are as Elamites, right? Elam Fellowship, their tagline is, we are a Christ-centered, worldwide revival fellowship. That's who Elam Fellowship is. We're Elam Fellowship. That's who we are. We place a high priority on the presence of God. So what I'm talking about, let's just be who we are. Let's just be who we are. Well, Kurt, I don't know that I am that. Well, you have a choice to make. You can make that choice today to change who you are and say, I do make the presence of God a priority in my life. Amen? It doesn't have to be same old, same old. We are a Christ-centered, worldwide revival fellowship. I just like saying that. You know? That's who we are. That's who I am. That's what we do here. You know, we had Jeff and Nancy Clark with us a couple of weeks ago. And you know, apostle, prophet, they flow in those offices. They've been a mama and a papa to this house for a number of years. And because of COVID, we haven't been able to connect with them for a couple of years. I think it's been 2.5 years since they've been here, something like that. So finally, it was good to have Mama and Papa Clark with us. And let me tell you, they unloaded some stuff, didn't they? Some good stuff, some kingdom stuff. I just want to take a quick look at one of the things that they spoke over this house, because I think it's so important to us. It's encouraging, but we also have to realize the responsibility that goes along with a word like this. Amen? It's not just all warm and fuzzy and happy and, oh, we, you know, skip through the garden, you know? It is that. And yet, there's a call to stewardship with it as well. How are we going to steward the word of the Lord in this house? So let me just read a little bit of what they prophesied. So know that what I promised you, what I said would come to pass, it will surely come to pass. This house will be filled. The lambs and the sheep will foal, and they will bring forth lambs in the spring. There shall be a multiplication. There shall be a joining. I will bring the prodigal. This is what I want to focus on. I will bring the prodigal, the outcast, the disenfranchised, the wayward sons and daughters, and even those that are burned out and their lamps have gone out from the priesthood. And they will come here and they will be lit again by the superfluous overflow of your stewardship. This will be a supply house, where the oil runs in large fashion that anoints and brings healing. The oil that anoints the priest and the king. And it goes on from there. The Lord is going to bring some folks into this house. Amen? Listen to this list. I will bring the prodigal, the outcast, the disenfranchised, the wayward sons and daughters, and even those that are burned out and their lamps have gone out. He's going to bring some hurting people in here. What a responsibility we have. He's going to bring some folk in here that don't have a grid for what church is like. We have a responsibility. How will we steward those people? When they offend us, will we blow them out of the water? Will we show them the door? Or will we come alongside like the Holy Spirit, like the Paraclete? Will we come alongside and love and show grace and encourage? And will we pull the gold out of them that God's placed in them already that they didn't even realize was in there? That's how I want us to respond. There's going to be some hurting and broken people that the Lord brings in here. How will we steward that? Andrew, if you have that video ready, I'll be ready to have you play that in just a moment. You know, the word says, to whom much is given, much is required. Will we view these people as the treasure that they are, as the treasure that God sees them as, or not? Listen, when people that have been hurt badly, when you interact with them, their grid is to respond out of what they know. Amen? If you interact with a woman who grew up in an alcoholic home, there's pain, there's torment that she went through. And she will respond out of that, even if you're trying to be loving. She doesn't have a grid for that yet. It takes some time. It takes grace. It takes taking some pain and putting it aside for the benefit of this person. Now, I'm not saying that we just let people walk all over us. I'm not saying that at all. But we extend grace to people because they respond out of what they know. And as we continue to extend grace, as we continue to love folks, as we continue to encourage, they will see over time, wow, this person really loves me. And you can imagine how that can totally, radically change somebody's mindset. Amen? I have a little 3-minute video that I just want to watch real quick to illustrate this point. There's this man in Greece. I guess he's got a Greek name that's about this long, but he goes by Takis, T-A-K-I-S, I think. And he has this shelter where he takes in animals, and a lot of these animals have been abused and hurt, and they only know that life. And as he loves them and is gentle with them, there's a radical change that takes place. So if we could, maybe we could turn these lights out up here, and then if you could show the video, Ashton, that'd be great. Let's just watch this short video. Listen, we're going to have people come in here that are going to be hurting, just like...
What is this? Place.
Right?
What is this?
That's my life.
How do we respond to them? Grace, love. I don't know if you could see the one subtitle said that, the one caption said that the dog had no grid, I'm paraphrasing, had no grid that a human hand didn't mean pain. That's all he knew, was abuse and violence and hate. That's all the dog knew. And he didn't respond well to love in the beginning, right? He was going to bite that guy's hand off. I mean, fortunately, he had that big, thick leather glove on, right? Because if he didn't, we'd be calling him Lefty or something, you know what I mean? He didn't respond well to love. And could it be that the people that the Lord's bringing in, the prodigal, the outcast, the disenfranchised, the wayward sons and daughters, could it be that they won't respond well to love that we try to express to them at first? Yeah, it very well could be. But as we're consistent, as we walk in grace, the love that we freely receive from the Father, as we freely give it to folks that are hurting, will that over time make a change in their lives? Wasn't it great to see the dog at the end, and his tail's wagging, and he's playing with the other dogs, and he's like just a normal, happy dog. Listen, that was the dog that he was created to be. We're going to have people that come in here that because of their background, they're not the people that God created them to be. But can we come alongside them and love them into being the people that they've been called to be? To walk in their destiny, to walk in the plans and purposes. Yes, yes. And as we place a high priority on the presence of God, we'll be able to share that message in love with people. Amen? You know, there's a verse that says, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Oh, aren't you glad for that? Amen. Amen. We're going to pray for people in just a moment here. I have more in my notes that I want to share, but, you know, for another time. We're going to wrap up, and I was part of an awesome men's conference here a few weeks ago out the Turnpike in Everett. And we had, everyone knows Richie Lewis. We had Richie Lewis to come in and preach Friday evening, and he preached a powerful message, how about it, Mike, on our authority in Christ. And he went through how Jesus commissioned the 12 and how Jesus commissioned the 70 and how other people that hadn't even interacted with him were flowing in what he had commissioned those others to do. And then he, of course, went to what's commonly referred to as the Great Commission, how we're commissioned to go out and preach the gospel. And these signs and wonders will follow you. And you will see, you will pray for the sick and they will be healed, was one of them. Amen? We have authority to pray for healing. And not just pray, but expect to see God move and heal people. Amen? And after he preached that word, he prayed for people, I don't know, two and a half hours, and we saw many people that were healed. Just real quick, the worship leader, the guy that was leading worship, had a thing that happened a few years ago. He was part of a marching band, and I think it was at a parade that he was participating in. as a percussionist, and go drummers, right, Mike? And so this thing happened where his ear popped. It was his right ear, and the volume went down drastically, and he had this constant ringing in his ear that was just, you know, an annoyance at the least, a distraction even, because it was just that prevalent, that loud. And so Richie prayed for him maybe a dozen times. You know, Jesus prayed for someone, for a man that didn't have sight, and he said, "What do you see?" And he said, "I see men like trees walking." And Jesus himself prayed a second time, and then the man was healed. And that's what Richie was walking in. He was being very persistent in going after this man's healing. Somebody said he's like a pit bull. I mean, he will not relent. He goes after it, you know? And so, long story short, he prayed for this guy multiple times. The hearing level was restored, and the ringing went down to just a slight that he could even notice it. That's just one. There were backs that were healed. There were, you know, I could go on and on and on. But we have authority in Christ to pray for and see people healed. And so as we close, if you have a need, we're just going to release the body to pray for folks. And in our authority that we've been given, we're going to see God move in people's lives, whether it's healing, whether it's I need a job, whether it's a relationship that's broken, I want it restored, whether it's whatever the need is, we've been given authority to pray for these things. Amen? And so if you have a need and you'd like to receive prayer, well, let me just close in prayer. I'll release us. Those who want prayer can stay. Let's do it that way, okay? So just bow your heads with me as we close in prayer. Father, we thank you for what you're about to do. We thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit. We thank you for the outpouring of your presence, your power, your glory, your anointing that breaks every yoke of oppression. We say, come. We say, come. We're like Elijah. We see that little cloud in the sky, and we know what's coming. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Move mightily in this place. Lord, that we would be so saturated and so overfilled with your presence that everyone we come in contact with would receive that quote-unquote contact high, as it were, because we're so filled with the presence of God. Come and do it in our midst, Lord. And Father, as we dismiss, for those who have needs, we are believing for you to meet needs. We are believing for the sick to be healed. We are believing for jobs to manifest in people's lives. We're believing for broken relationships to be healed as you move in the midst, Lord. Father, we even just right now lift up Frank and Pastor Steve. They've both been dealing with some sickness, a sinus thing, and allergies. And Lord, we speak healing over their sinuses. We speak healing over their respiratory system. We speak complete healing over their bodies in Jesus' name, that congestion would just be relieved, that coughing would go away, that sore throats would be healed right now by the power of God in Jesus' name. We release healing over Frank and Pastor Steve, and thank you for what you're doing in their bodies in Jesus' name. And we thank you for what you're about to do in our midst here as we pray for needs this morning. We bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed unless you have a need and you'd like to receive prayer. If that's you, lift your hand and we're going to get some saints right around you.